bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Economical destitution. The center of economical destitution. New York City. As we continue to go through this illusion of impoverishment and losses and all the things that are happening around us, our brains get changed a little bit. Today I want to talk about our brains being changed. I want to talk about what's happened to us as we've gone from this hypertropia, which is a word that means farsightedness. Remember the plan? The plan was you save money, you go out there, you build a nest egg, and then you get your 401k, plus you get your benefits, plus retirements, then you retire, you do stuff like that. Now they're selling you an illusion that none of that exists, and all of that falls apart, so you can't plan for the future. Planning for the future was stupid. If instead you had a good time, you had a party, you spent all your money, and you had a wonderful time, you were probably better off. Because all that money you ever cheated from the government, all that money you salted away in cash or hidden little gold coins, all of that has depreciated to be valueless. And the plan didn't work. Or the plan you did have. The tax escape, the tax evasion, the way of building a plan so that you could buy an annuity and not pay taxes. That didn't work either. It all didn't work. And maybe it never did work. So what we're seeing and what we're being bombarded with is a world that has suddenly turned around and said, you know, this illusion we sold you about pay it forward, buy it forward, somebody in the future will take care of it. That's busted. Now what we have is a bunch of people who have gone from hypertropia to myopia. They're looking too close. In this myopic perception of the world, this nearsightedness, you get afraid to spend even a dollar in the future. In fact, you get to the point where you begin to save everywhere you can. That may be a good thing. Maybe it's economical. Maybe it's helping us in some way. But the mind becomes funny. The mind goes from being somebody who believes that you have a potency and a force to somebody who believes you're barely holding on. How do you feel, friends? Do you feel like nowadays you're barely holding on? You think you're getting from paycheck to paycheck? Worried about losing jobs? Reading about the economy? What's happening to your mind? In a recent survey, they looked at people who are spending their money. And they found that people who have money in the present, those that save it, do not seem to feel as good as those who spend it. The ones who spend it in the future, they feel worse than the people who spend it in the present. So if you have $10 and you spend $10 on a pleasure, you could at least say, I have that pleasure. But if you have $10 and you save it for the future, you don't feel as good about it. And if you pay off some debt with it, you don't feel as good about it. So hedonism seems to be rearing its head. And that kind of makes sense. In a society, in a world where Rome is burning, people are saying, let's have a party. Let's enjoy ourselves. Let's not worry about death. Let's not worry about the future. What's everybody doing? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to be talking to you about this as well. But people are scared. You know, they're scared now. And fear does terrible things to people. Fear has always been the biggest manipulation of the human brain you'll ever find. Every time a government wants to motivate you into buying something, believing something, they give you fear. They sell you plots. of land for you to be buried in case you die and there's no room for you. Do you understand? There are people who buy burial sites. In case when they die, somebody says, no room, you can't be dead, buy it now. They sell you insurance policies. They sell you futures. They sell you wills and testaments. Let's talk about wills. So there's a major insistence now by almost everyone to please do your will. What would happen to me in case you left? Of course there is. People are worried. People are concerned. But what's it like to be told, do your will in case you die? Wait, what about if I die? You know? Who's going to take care of me? Who's going to do my feet? Who's going to take care of me? All right, so what we're looking at now, what we're seeing, and you're going to be noticing this, a lot more smoking now. More people are smoking than they were. People are picking up cigarettes. They're saying, fine, I'll do some cigarettes now, and there are more people smoking. People are looking for hedonistic pleasures, things that they could do. The other thing that people are doing is looking back with regrets to what they did do. Now, here's the surest sign of depression: living in the past. Someone once said that anxiety is living in the future. Depression is living in the past. Think about that. Depression is about what you could have, that you should have, that you don't have. Depression is about what's wrong with you, what choices you've made, remorses. Anxiety is about what could happen to you. Panic, fear, what is going to happen to me, nervousness. So either living in the future or living in the past is a sign of either anxiety or depression or both. How do you live in the present? How do you not look back at your life and say, I should have taken that trip. I should have gone with that guy. I should have gone to school. Should have gotten that PhD. Should have gotten that degree. Shouldn't have listened to my mother. Should have been. You know, what I could have done. I should have stayed on my diet. You know, I should have, would have, could have. Many people who feel the pressure of today find themselves going into regrets. And I just ran across one of the great moments of regret. See if you could recognize this, my friends. Here's something for you.
You was my brother, Charlie. You should have looked out for me a little bit. You should have taken care of me just a little bit so I wouldn't have to take them dives for the short-end money.
Well, I had some debts down for you. You saw some money.
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody. Instead of a bum, which is what I am. Let's face it.
Recognize that? Touch you?
Instead of a bum, which is what I am. Let's face it.
Yeah. A lot of people feel that way about themselves. That's Marlon Brando. From On the Waterfront, I could have been a contender. Hey, could you have been a contender? Well, you could always be a contender, my friends. That's what I say. And the trouble is that if you live looking backwards and say, oh, in the past I wasn't, therefore I missed my spot, you kind of lost. Kind of stuck in the past. If you look in the future and say, if only I do so and so, but I don't have time, you kind of lost in the future. So the real question is, how do you become a contender right now? And that's the idea of our program today. How do you step up every day, step up to the plate and swing? How do you go in there every day and say to yourself, I want to contend. I want to be a part of this thing. I want to be active. I want to be a part of it. I don't want any part to pass me by. I want to feel alive. I want to feel vibrant. Even if you're sick, even if you're broken, how do you keep your chunga chunga? How do you keep your spirit alive? Well, it's hard not to buy the stories. It's hard not to buy the regrets. It's hard not to buy the past. It's hard not to buy the fact that things happen to you. It's hard not to buy the ceilings that are over your head that don't allow you to climb above them. But you can still do it, my friends, in the present. And by that I mean you could live the life that you believe reflects the highest level of integrity, caring, self-preservation, and connection, all of those together. 212-209-2900 is our number here today. I want to take a lot of your calls today because I want to see how you're feeling out there. 212-209-2900. I've been meeting more and more of you through Skype, S-K-Y-P-E. I really appreciate it. I've actually been having consultations from the donations that were sent to WBAI by Skype from around the country. Remarkable new technology. I recommend you kind of get involved in it if you have it available to you. It's a camera. Camera on your built into your computer or into your forehead. 212-209-2900. So this is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. Question is the following. How do you step up today? How do you do it today? How do you make today another piece of your beautiful act of creation instead of a recreation of some of the disaster that you've lived or the fear that you live? 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Armand.
Yes.
This is Joe from Westchester.
Hello, Joe.
Yeah. I don't know. My dad just passed away.
Joe, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
When did he die?
Wednesday the 11th.
The 11th of this month?
Yes.
Oh, Joe, how did he die?
He's been in the hospital for a while. He has diabetes and a heart condition. He had a heart condition. So we've been 9 months. We've been just trying to help along and stuff. And
how does that feel? What's it like?
Well, we were all there. I must say it was quite an experience. I have a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old, and so we were all there. We just they just informed us that day that he just wouldn't be making it. They don't think he would have lasted a day. So,
Joe, let me ask you something. You keep talking in the we, because one of the things that happen to a man when he's in charge of something is his feelings get lost behind taking care of the other people. What did it feel to little Joe to lose his daddy?
We were fairly close, so it's painful. It's painful.
You mean you feel pain?
Yeah, I feel painful, yeah. It's painful.
I feel hurt, right? Yeah. So if your father had one chance to hear you talk to him right now, somewhere through the airways of BAI, and you had one message to say to him, not about we, but about Joe, what would you say to him?
I'd say thanks and thank you and for being my father for 58 years, and I miss you.
I miss you, Dad. I miss you. Yeah. Whew, tough time. Changes the world, doesn't it?
Yeah, my parents, they married 65 years. They were just married 65 years last October.
Wow.
So it's a long time. So Mom is, she's lost a good friend.
And you've lost.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you called.
So I guess that aspect of just maybe at this point, in response to your question, I'm just being in the moment just with what has transpired. I don't know if I'm grateful for the years that we did have, but I don't know if I'm in a space to just say, hey, yes, what's great, or just, you know, so.
No, but you're not in the moment. I'll tell you where you are.
Mm.
You're in the moment of taking care of people. You're in the moment of generalizing your feelings. You're in the moment of avoiding the child inside you that really feels the loss. And you're in the moment of grief. Now, this grief is so profound and so big that it's going to rip at your soul. And you got to let it rip your heart up. You really have to let it rip your heart up without taking care of anybody. That's what's going to clear it out. Instead of the way that you're doing it, which is, I know, respectfully, I say to you, by generalizing and taking care of people, that's one thing. But, Joe, Jesus, you loved your dad, and I could hear it. You know, and that's why you're calling me today. You're calling me because I'm some kind of daddy to you, in an indirect way. I'm like a good dad, too.
Yeah, you've been a good dad to a lot of people, Lauren.
Yeah, and to you. You see,
yeah.
A lot
absolutely.
Of people.
Absolutely.
And you're reaching out to your good dad through me, and I'm privileged to represent your father. Privileged.
So thank you.
You're a beautiful man.
Have a good day, Norman.
You too. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Maria.
Maria.
Yes, I listen to you all the time, and I wanted to tell you I feel it, all of the things that you just said.
What things do you feel, Maria?
What's happening. You know, you save all your life, try to, you know, pinch the penny to save. They tell you, save you for the 401k, and then they take it away from you.
Yeah, they do that in Naples, too?
Yeah, they do all over. This is colonize the whole world. They colonize everything.
But where you were from in Italy, right?
Yes.
And were they the same way, always talking about the future? Or did they talk about domani?
Well, they're worse than here.
They're worse than
but
here.
But they're set up for... Who set this up? This country.
That's right.
This country set the whole everybody to suffer and everybody to be killed and die. Everything is.
Oh, Maria, you sound so angry.
I am very angry.
That's right. You are angry.
Very
you're angry,
angry
at this world who did this.
Yes, I'm angry.
And who takes care of you, Maria?
Nobody.
Why not?
I take care of myself.
Yeah, I know. And you take care of people, too, don't you?
I did all my life.
Yeah, you tired?
And that's why I'm very upset.
Tell me why.
Because they say, if you help other people, God will help you. But it's not true.
Who died?
Huh?
Who died?
Right now, nobody died. But I had different plans for my old age.
And how old are you now, Maria?
I'm 71.
You're 71 and you had different plans.
Yes.
Right? You didn't plan to be struggling at age 71.
No.
No, huh?
I was diagnosed with cancer last year.
Yeah.
And then all this sad stuff came. And I am so depressed and so upset about everything.
Really? And do you talk to anybody about it, Maria?
Nobody wants to listen.
Nobody
they
wants
to... They all have their own problems.
They don't want to listen to how bad it hurts and how scared you are and how you
mm-hmm.
feel?
Yeah.
Do you know of any groups or any organizations where you go where there are people who feel the same way? The hospitals, the nursing homes, those kind of places? Or are you too independent? You're
up.
Too proud. You're
I'm
proud.
Fed up. I'm
yeah,
fed
you're
up
proud. I know you.
Yes.
What part of Italy are you from?
Naples.
That's what I said, Naples, right?
Yes.
Proud as I could tell.
Yes.
Right?
Hard working, growing up with no parents, no mother, no father, and I took care of my grandparents.
Yeah, no family at all. Well, I tell you, at this point, you have a big family here at WBAI.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, I learn a lot from... And I support them, too.
Do you ever go down the city, Maria?
No, not anymore. Since I got the cancer, I was operated 3 times.
And where do you live now?
I live in New Jersey.
In New Jersey, so you're never near New York, huh?
It's too hard for me to travel to New York.
Do you have a computer?
I do, but my eyesight is very bad. I worked on a computer for 30 years.
Can you get somebody to send me an email with your name in it?
Yes.
Send me an email.
Okay.
And maybe I know somebody in New Jersey who could come and say hello to you.
Oh, I appreciate it very much.
Wouldn't that be nice, Maria?
That would be wonderful.
Maybe if I'm in New Jersey, I'll come and look for you.
Yes, I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, you sound like a beautiful person, of course. Of course. Send me an email now.
Huh?
Send me an email. You have to send me one.
Okay.
Get one of your paisanos to write it down.
Well, there is no paisan. Everybody, they're for themselves.
There's always a paisano. You just got to look.
I don't know. I don't know better. This world is upside down. It's everybody, me, and nobody else.
Thank you for calling in, Maria.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for listening to me.
My pleasure, honey.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye now. 212-209-2900. Hearing from the people, my friends. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
My name is Guillermo Ernesto. I have to be honest with you, I'm very nervous right now.
Oh, well, we take a few minutes then, you know. What's your first name? What's your first name?
My first name is Guillermo.
Guillermo, okay.
My second name will be easier for you, Ernesto.
No, I'll take Guillermo. I know Guillermo. It's a good name.
I've been trying to get in touch with you for a long time. I'm a salesman, so I work in my car practically. And sometimes I get very late doing my job because I try to listen to the whole show. And I get very emotional sometimes with some of the things that happen.
I know. Isn't it something? People tell me how emotional they get when the show is on. And it's very difficult, but it's good to get emotional.
You're a great man.
Especially in your car.
And to tell you that you're a great man. And that we appreciate that you are doing this for
a lot of people. Well, Guillermo, what do you appreciate?
I'm sorry. First of all, I called because I was wondering if I could help that lady. If she needs somebody.
The lady in New Jersey, huh?
Yes, if she needs somebody to take her to you or something like that, I can volunteer myself to do so.
Okay, then you send me an email.
Okay, I will do that tonight.
And if she sends me an email, we'll make that happen.
Perfect.
And the three of us will meet. That's beautiful, Guillermo. Now you're becoming a part of it, you see? Now you're a part of it. Now you're a part of the world. It's beautiful.
Thanks. And I have a question for you. I don't know if it's a question. I'll try to make it very quick. I have this situation with my father. We were both born in Cuba. He came in the 1980s and I came in 1997. Practically, we were never together over there either. My mother was pregnant when she had me. He was there until I was 6 years old, and then he came. And in reality, if you ask me how I see my father, my relationship with him, I would say that he's being a good supporter. Like, he never forgot about me. He always supported me in any way but monetary. What I've been missing is that relationship with him, the trust, that feeling of knowing that I can count on him. And I totally changed my life. Like 2 years ago, I've been changing the way I eat, the way I see life. And that's one of the reasons why you attracted me and brought me to listen to your show. It's not a coincidence at all. And I've been planning to do things better for me and him. Things sometimes are so obvious, but at the same time, I can see that he's blind or he doesn't want to see them. I've been trying to figure it out.
Well, the difficult thing that you have there, Guillermo, is part of the next level of functioning is to accept people exactly as they are, but not necessarily feeding what they are. So if somebody's acting crazy, you don't have to respond by being crazy. If somebody's acting wild, you don't have to respond by being wild. If your father is unconscious and he can't show you the love, you don't expect him to show you love. But you could still accept him for the way he is. And this is the way with almost all people. The next level, like you're already somebody who I could tell functions from a high level of integrity. The next level is to say, and you be who you are, and I know you can't feed me. I know you can't feed me. And I'm going to live without your food.
I totally agree with you, and I have it in mind, I'm aware of it. Sometimes I'm very into applying that, and I just lose my strength sometimes.
Of course, we get beaten down. We get weak, we get tired, we get our periods, we get whatever we get things happen to us where we can't always keep our head above.
You know what's the main thing? That
sometimes you got to eat pizza.
It's like 1,000 calories, be careful.
I know, that's what I told Gary, no. I said, Gary, sometimes you got to eat pizza.
That's like 9 miles running, okay?
I know, but sometimes you got to do it.
Hey, Armand, you know what the main thing that is between us, I'm assuming because I'm glad that we have never talked about it, is a political issue.
Yes.
I mentioned that we both are from Cuba, but we're totally different in the way we look at our nation. And
yes, I fully understand that, too, with your father. A lot of people in Cuba have these different opinions, especially about Fidel Castro and about the way things go. And that's all right. It's almost like having two people in a family in America where you have one person is a Republican and the other person is a Democrat. You learn to say, I understand why you need to believe this way. Your father is protecting all of the beliefs that he got from his father and his father's father.
Right.
You are challenging the system. He must protect his past, because if he doesn't protect his past, he would have to protect everything he believes about his family. And he wants to protect his family. You see? So he doesn't want to look back and say, my father should have never beat me, because his father did beat him. He doesn't want to look back at that. He doesn't want to look back at how angry he is. So what he does is they affix themselves to a different kind of belief system, and they stick with it. And it's like you understand. He's not talking about politics. He's talking about his heart. He's talking about the heart of the little child that's inside him that got so terrified when he was little. And you don't have to tell me his story, but I know your father's childhood was not a happy one.
I don't think so, yeah.
No, I don't think so either. Did you ever talk to him about his childhood?
That's a good question, Armand, because
I know it is.
I'm 35 years old. I've been in this country for like 12 years already. I didn't know so little about his childhood. So little. I know more from my mom. Like, my mom has told me about him. I know more from my mom than from himself.
Well, wouldn't it be something for you to listen to him one day? You know?
I would have to ask him, yeah. I definitely would have to ask him.
How often do you get together with him?
Another good question. Because I don't know if I'm pushing myself away from him, because I'm became negative and I'm running away from him, I guess. But we don't really see each other too much. When we get together, it always brings some damage to me. I always come back
that's
home.
You always have your mother around. You got to take him somewhere where your mother's not.
Yeah.
You have to go alone with him somewhere. Go to a bar and have a shot of rum.
My mom is not with him, though.
Oh, she's not. Okay.
No. She's in Cuba.
Okay, so you got to be alone with him somewhere, away from the normal setting. Take him fishing. Go somewhere. Do something on the outside, and then when you're on the outside, say to him, do me a favor. Tell me what it was like being a boy. And let him talk to you. He's going to be so happy to tell you, you'd be amazed.
This is how great you are, because I'm being probably all these 12 years, which is the only 12 years that we're living together. I don't know if you missed the beginning. I told you that when I was born, he wasn't already with my mom. He was already in another marriage.
Right.
So I really never had that family, you know, environment with him. When I came to this country, it was the first time that we lived together. And since then, I've been planning to, like, sit down and have a talk. But at the beginning, I didn't do it because I knew I was angry and the result wouldn't be the best, because he's a very angry man. Everything has to be one way.
And that's the way they are.
Right. So I have to find a very smart way, very positive way, to deal with him and for him also to be able to receive things in a very positive way. So we can bring more harmony to the family and being happy about being together and look for each other. Because that's not what's happening right now.
Yeah, it could be neutral. It doesn't have to be positive, by the way. Could just be neutral. You might go out and do something. And I say get out of the house. You know? So, listen, Guillermo, I have to go. I have to take a break.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful to talk to you.
It was great for me, too. Thank you so much.
I'll speak to you again. We'll take a short break. When I come back, a little music. And we'll continue with your phone calls.
For the short end money.
Well, I had some debts down for you. You saw some money.
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody. Instead of a bum. Which is what I am. Let's face it.
Amélie Le Crayon, Le Petit Flamme. Armand DeMille hit with you with a positive mind, WBAI. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life, talking about the economy and what's happening with the way things are happening and what's happening to people's minds. Going from hyperopia, right, to myopia. And what's worried about the future and worried about the past and worried in regrets and, oh, if only I had and what if I could. And meanwhile, Guillermo is going to go pick up Maria. Is it Guillermo who's going to do it? He's going to go pick up Maria in New Jersey, and be a part of life. And that's the way it happens. and Tony pays for skates. And things happen in this world that are beautiful. And you're all a part of it. 212-209-2900. Be careful with remorse about the past, my friends. Yes, you screwed up. Yes, you made mistakes. Yes, you didn't have a baby or did have a baby or shouldn't have gone there or should have gone there or should have done your money or shouldn't have done your money. But you're here now and you're a vital force. And we need vital forces not being robbed of their tools. We need to not believe in a government that is paying everything forward. We have to not believe in something that is also talking about all the past. We have to be here. We have to fight for what we believe in. We have to stand up for it. We need to take our justice to the streets, and that means being kind to every human you meet. Kindness. That's our essence. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Armand. haven't spoken with you in quite a while. My name's Tony. I'm from Upper Manhattan.
Hi, Tony from Upper Manhattan.
Yeah. Well, one of the earlier callers was on about losing a dad.
Yeah, you did too.
Well, this is years ago. I lost my dad, so-called lost.
Your dad?
Yes and no.
Tell me about it.
At intervals. Well, I come from a so-called broken home.
Sure.
Pop was never there. But I loved I kind of loved him, had affection for him because he did visit us, you know, and would bring stuff for us. Like that during his visits. So we prized, those moments. My wife, I also spoke with you. It was 3 years ago that she died.
Wow.
And it's incredible, you know, because I'm sweating over it and I'm surprised somehow.
Oh, Tony. She was depressed?
I'm sorry?
Your wife was depressed?
Oh, yeah, I guess you'd say that.
Well, how did she die?
I beg your pardon?
How did she die?
Colon cancer.
Colon cancer.
Yeah.
What was your wife's name?
Barbara.
And I met her, didn't I?
I don't know if you did, but she did speak to you a few times, there was... we would listen to, you know, your program going back years. And, we've always enjoyed listening to you.
So kind of calling me today is like you and Barbara calling me today.
Yeah, kind of like in a way. And also
you miss her so much. I could hear it in your heart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And... listening what you were on about earlier about the anxiety and being future related and depression past, and these days it's kind of like for me mustering up some sort of presence where it's just me observing.
Yeah, so you kind of stand away. You, like, go step by step through because you can't take yourself through it. You've become somewhat numb.
I don't know.
Yeah. What have you done, Tony? Have you done any screaming or yelling or hollering? When's the last time you were angry?
I don't know. I guess I could say perpetually.
Yes, perpetually, but does it come out or does it just stay inside?
From time to time, it does come out. I try to, keep a lid on.
What I hear the trouble. I hear the problem is that Tony has been insulted, and there's an insult to you. The insult may just be the loss of your wife, but there's an insult. And what you're doing is rationally dealing with it, But what's bubbling up inside is a rage and an anger and an indignance that you feel that you have no place to go with. You can't just blame everybody in the streets.
Right.
So what I hear from you, my friend, is I hear you repressing yourself, and that is turning into a numbness. Now you need to step out of this. We need to help you take a step out of this. I need to reach out my hand. I got to grab you by the shoulder. I got to say to you, come stand by the window and shout with me. Because we need to break this pattern. Because you're an important man. And you're important on this planet. You're important as a teacher. And I need you out here rather than in that cave.
Yeah.
So I want you to... Do you have any kind of therapy, any form of therapy you're doing?
Aside from yogic exercises.
No, we got to get beyond yogic.
Yeah.
We got to get to something else. You must call my office. I've got to find you somebody who's going to take you to a much higher, more powerful place. Because, Tony, I need you. We need you on this planet. We need you. You're part of the gang. You're part of the team. Please.
I appreciate that. Excluded. It's not beneath me to, speak.
Okay. Call me. Send me an email.
Let's see, and you're on the web to send an email?
Right, you send me an email, armand@thepositivemind.com.
Right.
Hey, Tony, get this picture. I'm going to hold you right now in my arms. Let me do it. Take a deep breath with me. Let that happen. Let me have that. That's right. You've been holding your head up a long time. Beautiful man. Thanks for calling in, Tony.
Thanks for the time.
Sure. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi there.
My name's Doreen. I called
Hello,
you
Doreen.
Years ago, about 10 or 15 years ago. Anyway, I'm kind of feeling the same mood or flavor as your whole show today.
Beaten?
My spirit is completely broken.
Oh.
Sorry.
Sure. What are you sorry about?
That I'm crying.
No, broken spirits cry. That's why they gave us tears. Tears are the sweat of the heart.
About 8 months ago, I lost my job. I got terminated. I got fired for something I didn't really think was my fault. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of something that was like a passion dream in my life, to work with abused children, which I did for almost 10 years.
Wow.
But anyway, I lost the job, and I was completely devastated. And I've since then lost my whole, identity, confidence, self-worth, my whole direction in life.
Well, what have you done for all these years?
I've been a nurse for almost 14 years. Before that, I pursued an acting career.
So have you been working recently?
No, I haven't worked in 8 months. I've been, whenever I attempt to look for something, there's something else that goes wrong. It's just been like across the board.
Kind of tricky stuff, isn't it? It's almost like the devils throw things in your paths.
Yeah, and I my significant other, person I live with, is fighting an addiction problem.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just gotten himself in trouble. And
get out of there.
He might be at the end of the road. I don't
know. Well, wait. What are you doing there? What are you doing there if he's fighting an addiction problem? Get out.
I know. You're right.
No, I'm not right. I'm just saying, what are you doing? You're feeding an addiction. You feed an addiction, it grows. You leave, it may stop.
Yeah, I know. I've been with him 4 years, and I guess it's hard to just say goodbye. I mean, I've lost so many people in my life, like the other callers. So I guess it's hard, but anyway.
Yeah, but what the problem is feeding it. See?
I don't think that I am, but I guess.
Yeah, I think you should try something like Al-Anon or one of those places where they talk to you about it. You do feed it. By being there, you feed it. You see? And by not being there, you say, I'm going to stop feeding it so maybe it'll starve. That's our job.
Okay.
That's what we got to do.
Well, the thing is, how do I get my own, even outside of him, how do I get my own?
Well, that's your first step. You understand when you make that step towards your own freedom?
Yeah.
And if you need help with it, Al-Anon, A-L-A-N-O-N, terrific. Al-Anon meetings, they're terrific. They help people get the strength to do it. You know, if you need more help than that, call my office. If you need more help than that, join a religion. No, don't join the religion. Don't. I take that back.
What if you lost your direction in life, though? What if you just...
Everybody does, you know, but the direction is one step in front of you. Everybody loses direction. And direction is never what counts. It really counts that you're just going somewhere. Go give to somebody. Go give something to someone. Go find volunteer services.
Okay. What's your office number?
You could just send me an email, Armand,
at
thepositivemind.com.
Okay.
Good to talk to you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye, Doreen.
Bye, thanks.
212-209-2900. It's tough out there, my friends. It is tough, but I really am saying this thing. We got to step up. You know, we're in it. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, doctor. How are you?
Good.
I've never called before. I've been listening to you for a long, long time, and I'm not one to call. But, you know, I've been troubled, and I just, you know, I wanted to feel what you have to say about, you know.
Sure. Troubled how? You've been depressed?
Well, yes, and I'm not one to be depressed. That's what.
So you suddenly feel it's like you're just so far under it, you can't get out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Exactly.
It happened for the first time?
Yes, this is the first time in my life, and you know, over, you know, approaching 50 years old, and you know, I'm a kind of guy that helped everybody throughout my life. You know, was a man of means at one time, but I've fallen upon some hard times, and you know, with this economy and other things of this type, you know,
they got you beaten. They got you beaten at the knees. I could hear you got a couple of. They hit you with a few sticks, you're bruised, you're kind of falling down, you're saying, help, help.
Exactly.
I don't ask for help, but oh my gosh, I'm sinking.
Exactly. And
yeah.
You know, I've helped many people, and it seems my thoughts are, and it's a true statement, that it's actually, you know, even people I've helped have walked away.
Of course.
And
of course, because you never let people help you.
Exactly.
They haven't walked away. You've just been somebody who gave so much that you would turn down anything offered to you.
Exactly.
Of course.
Exactly. And my
wife, that's why they walk away.
And you know, and they're fully aware of the situations that have happened to me, and just they're not even willing to. You know, I'm not that I'm even asking for anything. It's just the thought of the offer.
Yeah, I know.
Offer, and not even an offer.
But when you get so used to turning people and telling people, I don't need anything, and then you wait for them to give it to you, it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. You need new friends.
Yeah, you know, it's not only the friend thing. It's family, too.
Yeah, I know. So. You need new family. You need new family. Trade them in. Trade them in. What nationality are they?
They're all mixed.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, so
we're going to have to make you a Gallucci. We had a family called the Gallucci's. The family of Gallucci's are all the people in the world who always wanted to be Italian and can now be just by saying they are.
Right. So, right. Well, it just happens to be these people. Most of them are from the Mediterranean area anyway, so it's, you hit it again,
of course,
as usual. And like to thank you. And
well, I hear your spirit. You see, I hear your spirit changing even as I'm talking to you.
Right.
I hear you saying you need contact. You need to be somewhere where you're real. You need to tell the truth.
Yeah, but, you know, it's that old expression that you're talking into the wind, or why even say anything? Nobody wants to listen anyway. So, I mean, I think it's one of those things. It's just good to just talk to somebody with some kind of intelligence like yourself, and it's good to hear, you know, that you... You know, that you back people up and you encourage people. Because, you know, there's nobody for me to talk to. Besides my wife, that is. But it's just been a pleasure, and I just wanted to let you know that I've been listening for years, and thank you for taking the time to talk to me. And
what's your name?
People. Jerry.
Jerry, yeah. I honor the time I took to talk to you. Anytime you ever want to talk to me in person, email, or on Skype, you get in touch with me. You're a good guy.
I appreciate it. You're a blessing. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, sir.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take one more call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Mr. Armand.
Yes. Who is this?
This must be Italian Day. My name is Anthony.
Hello, Anthony. A lot of Tonys. Good. Although you're an Anthony.
For the last several weeks, I've actually caught your program while driving and piqued my interest because it had substance to it. And
thank
I think you.
You
do great things to help people, and that's always a plus, no doubt.
What substance touched you today?
Well, I could tell you what substance touches me every day, not
sure.
just today. And that's the pulse of life. And life, at least on the materialistic plane, is there for our learning, as you know. And
so instead of doing this as a learning for people, could you talk about yourself? Life is there for my learning. Talk about only you.
Well, first I have to tell you that being raised Roman Catholic and through my theologic studies have become a very spiritual person.
Mm-hmm.
That has helped me overcome many seemingly difficult...
It's great to believe in something, isn't it?
It gives a strength of will and purpose.
Yeah.
I take a slight exception with one thing you mentioned to an earlier caller when you sort of dismissed the fellow who mentioned yogic.
Uh-huh.
Now, I have to say, for 35 years...
Let me explain it to you, okay, because we only have a minute.
Oh, sure.
When people are depressed, frequently, they turn inward, and they turn to practices that are inward. I, being a shrink and having seen this for many years, 30 years practice, I see that what has to happen at that moment is they have to turn that inside anger outward instead of burying it through a yogic practice. So yoga, very frequently, does not work to help with the depression. What you need for depression is a different kind of thing. And that's why, not dismiss, but I would recommend against it. I recommend against meditation and yoga when you're depressed.
I find results to be opposite.
But you're not depressed.
I'm not depressed, but I
right,
know many people through certain yogic philosophies. And I don't
sure.
mean delusional people who think because they're, for example, yoga teachers, they have all the answers.
No, I understand, but we're both saying the same thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
But for me, I, for example, and I would like to talk to you perhaps more at some other time because I think we have some very interesting points.
We do, and we're out of time. So, you know, you could send me an email, and we could talk about it at length. Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D, @thepositivemind.com, and I would love to continue this. To all of you, my friends, thanks for calling in. You're beautiful out there. To Joe and Maria and Guillermo and Tony and Doreen and Jerry and Anthony and Stephanie and everybody else, my heart goes out to you. Tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends, I'll be back.